Here we go. Broadcasting to the four corners of the conservative universe, it's the Matt Locke Show. He loves all things conservative politics, and if there's a microphone nearby, you can bet he'll be the one beating the left over the head with it. And now, a true original, the common sense conservative, here's your host, Matt Locke.
Oh yeah, that's right, beating the left over the head with the truth daily. Welcome into the hump day version of the program. I'm Matt Locke, your host. So glad you are along for the ride. The left's in trouble. The left is in trouble, and it is everywhere. And I'm telling you, if it weren't for the mainstream media, it would be a million times worse than it is currently. I mean, it is unbelievable what I am seeing today in the headlines. And it all goes back to the fact that Joe Biden is a feckless, spineless, Alzheimer patient, I guess. I was going to say that he had dementia, but I think Alzheimer's is the better word. And here we are. And they can't hide it anymore. Psaki lost her stuff. When people start asking about logs in his Delaware home, I mean, shouldn't we know who the president is meeting with on the weekends? Shouldn't we know that? I mean, shouldn't we be apprised to the things that the president of the United States is doing? But the stories are coming out today. I have to giggle at all of this because you know the left's desperate. You know the mainstream media is trying to cover. You know they're just absolutely out of their minds trying to figure out a way to distract you. So we're going to talk about Ron DeSantis today. We're going to talk about the generic ballot today. We're going to talk about the Democrats in the House and the Senate today. We're going to talk about Russia today. We're going to talk about what the Democrats feel and former Trump administration officials. Because all of this, yeah, I talked about the Great Reset the other day, right? I talked about the Great Reset to where the Democrat Party wants to take over America and make it their own. They want to replace our republic with some kind of socialistic, communistic, fascistic government that they can rule you. And as people, see, we live in a time, back when the Nazis took over Germany, they controlled the information, right? They controlled the books, the writings, the press, the ways you got your information. Well, in today's world, information is literally at our fingertips. It's at our fingertips. You can find just about what you want to find anywhere on the internet if you look hard enough. And you can read all sides of this on The Weekend Show. I found an article for The Weekend Show. I'm about probably pre-record tomorrow. The American polity is cracked and might collapse. Canada must prepare. And polity, I didn't know this, is a word for constitution, government, wing, or branch of something. I didn't know that, by the way, but I'm going to talk about that over the weekend on the Radio America, the terrestrial show. But I want to bring you this first article because it is revealing to me what is happening today. The left are out on a limb. The Democrat Party, the mainstream media, academia, education, Hollywood, all of our betters, the elites, right? They're out on a limb. They're out over their skis, and they're pissed off that people like you and I have not followed their authoritarian rule, okay? So what are they going to do? They're going to start writing stories to distract you from what actually is taking place in the real world. Liberals don't live in reality. I'm sorry, but liberals have no idea what the real world looks like. Realville, as Rush Limbaugh talked about it, he was the mayor of Realville. The left does not live in Realville. They don't know what affects you. They don't know how to associate with you. They don't know what goes on in your life because they don't live it and they don't care. So when things get going bad, they start doing this headline. Ron DeSantis will not bend the knee to Trump. asking too much. So the left is trying to gin up something that quite simply doesn't exist. Some kind of feud between President Trump, former President Trump, and the Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. It says Florida Governor Ron DeSantis reportedly will not kowtow to former President Donald Trump, the New York Slimes reported about the media's drummed up feud between the two stalwart Republicans. See, they need, here's the thing. There is a civil war currently happening in this country, and it's in the Democrat Party. I'm going to get to that in a little bit in the show. The left has the progressives, the moderates, and everybody in between, and none of them can get together. They don't know what to do with Joe Manchin. They don't want to do with Kristen Sinema. They can't get the filibuster through. They try. That article's coming up in a little bit. They just don't know what to do because all their liberals won't fall in line to let them take over America and destroy our republic as we know it. So what do you got to do? Distract. While the establishment media are looking to misdirect you from President Pudding Pop's 33% approval rating and his subsequent failures in Afghanistan, on the border, with COVID, inflation, the economy, the supply chain. We could go on and on with remarks made for irresistible headlines. The Times joined other media outlets in creating tensions between Trump and DeSantis. So I saw this article and I started sending out some texts and some emails. I said, is there a rift? Is there a Trump-DeSantis rift? Nope. Did Trump say any of this? No. Trump doesn't care about DeSantis. He actually likes him. I'm sure Ron DeSantis likes Trump. They like each other. This is complete made-up garbage, but the left has to do it to distract you. The Slimes reported DeSantis' friends, see, reportedly, well, not kowtow, DeSantis' friends, they never say DeSantis, but DeSantis' friends believe Trump has an expectation that DeSantis should bend the knee to Trump's likely 2024 presidential bid. But bending the knee, the governor's friends reported, stated is asking too much. Can you think about that journalism for a second? You want to write a story about me, and so what do? You go talk to my friends. That's pretty good journalism. I mean, that's hard hitting journalism, right? You're going to go talk to Ron DeSantis's friends and you're reportedly hearing that's no better than hearsay or rumor or the high school she said, she said. I thought we got out of these cliques, right? Remember in high school, all the clickiness and everything else and the rumor mills and, oh, Betty's trying to take, you know, Lisa's boyfriend and, oh my goodness, I'm going to fight that bitch and all this stuff, right? So here we are. It's the he said, she said, high school click rumor mill that DeSantis won't bend the knee to Trump. The reporting by the Slimes on the tensions come after Trump reportedly trashed DeSantis as a 2024 primary opponent, dubbing him a dull personality with no personal charisma and without a chance of winning. Do you think Trump said that? Do you think Trump, I mean, I don't think Trump, first of all, I don't think Trump thinks a lot about DeSantis. Trump is in his own environment, his own universe, right? Trump is in of himself the Milky Way. DeSantis is on the outside. You know, would it be an amazing, now here's the thing I want to tell you. After I get through all this, I've got a theory, okay? So establishment media rumors, that's what they are, rumors, suggest DeSantis responded on Friday to Trump's comments via a podcast where he noted the COVID lockdowns former President Donald Trump encouraged early in the coronavirus pandemic, NBC News reported. Both Trump and DeSantis have reportedly stated the drama between the two is media-driven. It is. It is media-driven. The establishment media, which reported last week on Biden's staggering setbacks, is likely looking to change the topic from Biden to a more harmonious topic of a Trump in DeSantis feud. NBC anchor Chuck Todd of Meet the Depressed led his show on Sunday by slamming Biden for failing to shut down the virus, reduce 40-year high inflation, and enact the Build Back Better agenda. Yeah, they're starting to turn on old Joe Pudding Pop, so we've got to change the subject, right? CNN's State of the Disunion with anchor Jake Tapper was also forced on Sunday to report Biden's inability to deliver on his campaign promises. In an interview with Surgeon General Dr. Vivek Murthy, Tapper questioned how bad the virus will become over the course of the next few weeks. This is a very difficult time during this surge. We are seeing high case numbers and hospitalization rates. We're also seeing strain in many of our hospitals around the country, Murthy said. The next few weeks will be tough. Headlines across the major papers throughout the nation wrote negative headlines. Biden's year of hard lessons, the Compost reported. This presidency isn't turning out as planned, the Slimes penned. Gloom, outrage, and barely any hope from readers on climate change, the Los Angeles Slimes published about Biden's inaction. Here's the thing. You can only ignore reality for so long, right? You can only live in bizarro world in your alternate reality, as the left always does. You know, you can only live there for so long. Eventually, you are going to have to understand what is actually happening in the world. Now, as you look at the left, they are losing their listenership. They're losing their viewership by 50, 60, 70, 90% over at CNN. They're petrified. They don't have anything to talk about. So what are they going to do? They're going to gin up a false tension story like the tabloid papers you see in the grocery store aisle, the Globe, the Inquirer. You know, they need clickbait. This is the sad part of it all. They need to distract their sheep from the truth. Because now people are waking up and they're going, you know, I voted for Joe Biden, but now my heating bill is up $40 a month. Gas in my car is up immensely. Groceries, clothing, all of this stuff. And now I'm going to tell you how close we are to where the left wants to be. CNN Today put out an article. I want you to listen to this. Should the government control the price of food and gas? That's where we're at today, kids. Should the government control the price of food and gas? Let me explain what that headline means. We're Atlas Shrugged, baby. If you have not read Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged, you'd best get to it. It's the roadmap of what we're currently seeing today, because now the government is seriously saying, should we nationalize gasoline and food? That's what they're saying. They want the government to control it. People paying a lot more for food, gas, cars, and services, and inflation isn't over yet as the pandemic continues to distort the economy. So should governments consider setting the price of essential goods? See, it's essential goods. It's been done before. Typically during times of crisis, but for most mainstream economists, the answer to this question is a resounding no. Limiting how much companies can charge will distort markets, they argue, causing shortages, exacerbating supply chain problems, while only temporarily reducing inflation. The government fucks up everything it touches, is what they just said. The government should never control the prices of goods and services in a capitalistic market system, because supply and demand should do that. If the government would just get out of the way, it would fix itself. But they're not. Quote, price controls can, of course, control prices. Price controls can, of course, control prices. But they're a terrible idea, David Otter, a professor of economics at the Massachusetts Institution of Technology, that's MIT, for those of you in Flint, remarked in a survey published earlier this month at the University of Chicago, asked whether price controls similar to those used in the United States during the 70s could reduce inflation over the next year. Less than a quarter of economists surveyed said they agree, while nearly 60 said they disagree. 60%. Just stop seriously. Austin Goolsbee, a professor at the University of Chicago, he's a Democrat, by the way, said in response to the question. Goolsbee previously served as chairman of the Council of Economics Advisors under former President Barack Hussein Obama. The attitude toward price controls appears to be similar in Washington, where policymakers have shown little enthusiasm for even targeted or temporary measures, despite growing pressure on middle-class families that feel the pain of price increases more than the rich. Translation: Our sheep are feeling it. Our sheep are feeling the pinch. This is a trial balloon. This is what Democrats do. They throw out a trial balloon and they say, wait a minute, should the government just control food and gas? I mean, let's just throw that out there and see what happens. Let's see who bites, who doesn't, and all that stuff. It's a very bad idea, by the way. But this is what the government wants to do to you. They want to control your life, period. They'll control what you eat, where you live, what you own, what you drive. Unbelievable. But here we are. And now we got to start distracting. We've got to distract from you because the playing field is not good. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Before I do that, do me a great big favor. Head over to scarsandstripescoffee.com. Fantastic coffee. I mean, downrange in my cup, you should have it too. But if you want to empower veterans, and this is what they do. I mean, Scars and Stripes Coffee empowers veterans. If you're a veteran, you're looking to make a few extra bucks, you're looking to be an entrepreneur or run your own business, head over to scarsandstripescoffee.com. They're looking for you. They're looking for you. They want to help you. They have great coffee, by the way. The product is amazing. It's unbelievable. It's bold. There's plenty of variety. I mean, and I like the owners. They're God-driven men. Fantastic people. I have known Chad Watts for a long time. I would go to battle with that dude. He is one of the best people that I know. Go check it out. Scarsandstripescoffee.com. Scarsandstripescoffee.com. Official coffee of the Matlock Show. Love it, by the way. Congressional generic ballot has the GOP up 9 points over Democrats. Now, yesterday, I told you there was a 14-point swing from Democrat to Republican in 2021. Well, now, with the 2022 midterm election just 294 days away, and Republicans maintain a strong lead in their bid to recapture control of Congress, notes Rasmussen reports. If the elections for Congress were held today, 48% of likely U.S. voters would vote for the Republican candidate, while 39% would vote for Democrats, a pollster reported. Just 4% would vote for some other candidate, but another 9% are not sure. And all that tells you is if that 9 goes 50-50, which it probably will, you're still looking at a trouncing. You're talking Republicans over 50%. Done deal. Now, once again, I don't put much stock in these polls because you could make a poll saying what you want to say, but it is a really bad playing field for the left. That's why they're trying to distract you. That's why they're trying to distract you. I want to get into this. I'm going to talk about this more, but here's another distraction piece that I want to talk about real quick. White House. Russia could launch attack on Ukraine at any point. Yep, let's start a war. It is so bad in the Biden White House that they are literally thinking about starting a war. What is that? If that doesn't tell you everything you need to know, then you are not paying attention. The warmongers, the hawks, they're all out. It's a distraction, kids. It's a distraction. The White House raised more concerns about the future of Ukraine on Tuesday as Russians amassed troops at the border. Now, you have to ask yourself the question that every honest American asks, okay? Where is the rest of the world? I mean, we're a half a world away, right, from Ukraine and Russia. Where's Germany? Just for one, where's NATO? Where are the NATO, you know, countries? Why do we have to be in the middle of what Russia does with Ukraine? Why? Now, do we want Russia and Ukraine? Probably not. But once again, why is that our problem? I mean, you have to ask that question, right? And where's the rest of the world? We're not the world's policemen. This is where I get ultra, ultra naturalistic. We're not the world's policemen. We don't need to go start another war, and it's amazing. President Trump was president for 4 years, never started a conflict. We're 1 year into Joey Puddin'Pop's term, and we're going to start a conflict. It's amazing, isn't it? Here we are. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki raised the alarm yesterday during the daily briefing. Quote, we believe we're now at a stage where Russia could at any point launch an attack on Ukraine. I would say that's more stark than we have been. President Biden has repeatedly talked tough with Russian President Vladimir Putin about Ukraine, but tensions continue to rise over Russia's decision to deploy troops in the region. He talked so tough, Joe Biden did, that he allowed the Nord Stream 2 pipeline to go in there. I mean, tough talker, guys. I mean, it's amazing. This guy ain't a tough talker. Joe Biden is a paper tiger. Well, I'm going to take that Donald Trump out behind the school, and I'm going to whip his ass. Joe Biden couldn't fight his way. He couldn't fight his way out of a wet paper sack. He ain't a paper tiger, big talker. Hey, all hat, no cattle, as they say here in Texas. The guy is a big talker. He going to talk a big game with Russia. He going to talk a big game with China. And nothing's going to happen. And then they gin this up. Oh, guys, look at Russia. They're on the Ukrainian border. What are we going to do? Distraction, distraction, distraction. Pay attention over here. Joe's a moron. It's just, I'm going to tell you, it's just one more thing that Putin Pop's going to fail at. Because he's good at one thing. Failing. He's a terrible president. Record terribleness. Record. Not the right records either. Not the good records. Not the best records. The worst records. In 40 years of inflation, of job creation, of all the things you see, inflation, stagnation, all that stuff, he is terrible. And you know what's going to happen? This will just prove it to you again that Joe Biden is an awful president. Psaki said the Biden administration would continue exploring ways to deter Putin from acting in Ukraine. President Putin has created this crisis by amassing 100,000 troops along Ukraine's border, she said. Russia has begun evacuating families of staff at their diplomatic locations in Ukraine, an indication they plan to escalate activity, the New York Times reported on Tuesday. Our view is that this is an extremely dangerous situation, Psaki said. Secretary of State Tony Blinken, who had his lunch fed to him by China, would meet with his Russian counterpart in Switzerland this week to urge Putin not to invade Ukraine and warn of severe consequences if they chose to do so. No option is off the table, they say. Severe consequences? Severe consequences? What's Joey Pudding Pop going to do? He isn't going to do a damn thing. See, that's the problem. They talk a big game. And you wait and you watch and you see, if Russia invades Ukraine, we won't do a damn thing. Joe Biden will look like a paper tiger. He'll look just like I said he looked like. He'll look weaker than normal, and then they'll have to start a war. Because you can't look weak, right? You got a war president, right? We need a war for 2 or 3 years. So when the elections come around, well, we don't want to switch presidents in the middle of a war. How could we do that? I mean, you know, we've got to have a stable hand at the control of the country. We don't want to put Trump there. Oh my God, the world will end as we know it. Will end as we know it. And that's what they're going to do. And here we are. I mean, it's unbelievable. All to distract you from the horrible presidency that is Joey Pudding Pop. Now, I want to get back to this because the 9 points over the Democrats is a big deal. Okay. Rasmussen is not only one of the most respectable and reliable pollsters out there and has been for 2 decades. These results track with what we see everywhere. To begin with, his fraudulency, Pudding Pop's approval rating sits in the low 40s, probably lower than that, while his disapproval rating is in the 50s. On top of that, Gallup just released a poll that shows a 14-point swing to Republicans in 2021. Other pollsters show the generic ballot closer, but those pollsters are not as reliable as Rasmussen. What's more, history has shown us that the Republican Party can enjoy sweeping victories even when they are tied or close in these specific polls. Well, in the party in power, almost all, it's like inevitable. They lose seats at midterms. Hell, even Trump did. Very little, but he did. For example, in 2014, there was a huge red wave, even though the GOP was only up an average of 2.4 points. In 2010, that was the Tea Party year, the GOP swamped the Democrats, and the generic poll only had the Republicans up by 2. They're up by 9. 9 is 7 more than 2 for those of you in Flint. It's a lot more. So if, and I've said this too, you're going to see the Tea Party wave come this year. And I really hope what happens is that we bring in a wave of actual constitutional, God-fearing representatives who will stand for you and me. Because it doesn't matter otherwise. I mean, we bring in a bunch of rhinos, it really doesn't matter what happens or how many we put in. Because they're going to do just the same thing they've always done. Even the left-wing serial liars over at NBC News are using the word shellacking to describe what's coming for the Democrat Party in the midterms. Over the last 30 years, the NBC News poll has given us a good idea if the president's party is heading for an exceptionally good midterm election, a shellacking or somewhere in between. And right now, the arrows are pretty much pointing in the shellacking territory for President Puddin' Pop and the Democrats as we debut our midterm meter, which will use our poll to gauge the overall political environment for the president's party. NBC points out that right now, a whopping 71% of the public says the country is on the wrong track. That's 71%. Joe Biden's job approval sits at 52. And in 94, 06, 10, 14, and 18, when the president's party suffered big losses, overwhelming majority said the country was headed down the wrong track. It's coming, kids. It is coming. The left knows it. So what are they doing? They have to distract you. They could, look, I'm going to talk about this in a minute. We're going to pay some bills here. So please do me a great big favor. Hey, head over to MyPillow, mypillow.com/Matlock. Mike Lindell, great patriot. Got banks out there trying to debank him. Got people out there trying to knock him off the roost. Got things going on. I mean, they're going after him in every way, shape, and form because they hate him. But you got to go spend money. You have to go spend money. MyPillow.com/Matlock. Go get your sale of the year, Giza Dream Sheets. Buy one, get one free. Got MyPillow dog beds, classic MyPillows you can save up to 75% on. 6-piece MyPillow towel set, mattress toppers, and of course, house shoes. Head over to MyPillow.com/Matlock. Do it today. Proud sponsor of the program. Certainly appreciate it. Go do it. You will not... You won't be mad about it. You won't be mad at all about it. Hold on here. I have the fourth mic. There we go. Sorry, I had to text there in the middle. I'm doing the podcast and party foul just texted me. I want to talk about this because the Democrat Party knows they're in trouble. I think something like 27, 8, or 9 Democrats are not running for re-election. And because they know this, and because they're desperate, they've been trying to get this H.R. 1 through the Congress and the Senate. Now, they can't do it because of the filibuster. Sinema and Manchin are standing in their way. They won't be good little Democrats. So now, here's the headlines we're getting out of Washington, D.C. Democrats did the best we could on election takeover as bill is poised to fail. They did the best they could. Fun, isn't it? How ridiculous is that? I mean, how crazy, see, when the left fails, every time, it's never their fault. I'm going to talk about this for the last half of this show, but the Democrat Party, the buck never stops with them. They never, I mean, I'm amazed, they never go, oh, we got shellacked. That's NBC's words, not mine. We got shellacked. Maybe we ought to get together, put our heads together, and figure out what we did wrong, right? Some introspection. You know, because that's what you do. When you fail, and I've done this many times in my life, I have failed many times in my life, made me a better person. That is the biggest times of growth in my life is when I fail, okay? So when you fail, you go, oh, I don't like how that felt, first of all. That didn't make me feel good, right? Because you failed. And inevitably, when you fail, it's painful. And you say to yourself, well, what did I do? What steps did I take that led me to this failure so that I don't take those steps again, right? It's called learning. You don't like the way you feel when you're not successful. So you don't want to do the things that made you not successful. So you start looking on how not to do that. Not the Democrat Party. Not our fault. Not our fault at all. Democrats on Tuesday admitted that they will add the attempted federal takeover of elections to their list of legislative failures despite efforts to break the filibuster. See, they wanted to cheat. I talked yesterday about the NASA bill, that they're trying to get all this stuff done because the NASA bill passed and then they don't need the Republicans and they're just a bunch of criminals, but they needed to cheat. They had to change the rules because they can't get anything done. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, Democrat, New York, made an unusual move this week to schedule a vote on two bills, the Freedom to Vote Act and the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act, even though they lack, Democrats, the 60 votes to pass through the Senate. Instead, the New York Democrat will attempt to convince his 50-member majority to support breaking the legislative filibuster. Now, we know that Manchin and Sinema are not going along with this, so this is dead on arrival. They don't have the votes. They only have 48. Don't have it. However, many Democrats admitted yesterday that the prospect of passing these bills already appeared doomed, as Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema have consistently opposed breaking the 60-vote filibuster threshold. Let me tell you what they're doing, okay? Because you're sitting out there and you're thinking to yourself like I am, well, Matt, if they know they can't pass the bill, why would they do a vote? They want to hold Sinema and Manchin's feet to the fire. They want to make an example of them. See, you don't step out of the line. You don't step out of line in the Democrat Party, right? You go along with your betters. You do as you're told. You vote as you're told, and we move on. See, that's the funny thing about the left. They tell us, you know, they tell you that you are the mind numb robot, that the Rush Limbaughs and the Sean Hannitys and the Tucker Carlsons and the Dan Bonginos and the Matlocks of the world have programmed you to do exactly as we tell you to do. Right? You don't have a brain of your own. You're an automaton. You just do what you're told by all these voices and away you go. But in actual reality, in Realville, of which I'm a citizen, not the mayor, in Realville, the left are the dictators. The left are the mind numb robots. The left get pissed off when you don't do as they say. So what's happening here? This is a power play on Chuck Schumer's part. He wants to put Sinema and Manchin on record. That way he can go out to all of the media outlets. They can start carrying the water on the lamestream media, and they will go after. They'll go after them. They will make them a public spectacle. And it will be, how dare you not want to save America. See, that's what it'll be. Oh, woe is us. We're not at fault. We don't want to nationalize the election. We want to save America from the big, bad Republican boogeyman, because that's what we are, right? We're boogeymen. See, I've said this before. Bongino says this. We believe that Democrats are people with bad ideas. The Democrats believe we're bad people. So they must defeat us, and they will do everything they can to try to beat us. That's what I talked about yesterday, the beer bottle analogy. It's time to get the brass knuckles on and start brawling in the streets, because we have to hit the Democrats with their own medicine. So what's going to happen is the Democrats play the victim, okay? That they're going to play the victim. Tammy Duckworth. Well, I just tell people we did the best that we could. She admitted, I just say specifically that whoever votes no on the rule change, it's their responsibility that we couldn't get this done. See? Manchin and Sinema. Well, they voted no. It's their responsibility. And you know, the people of Arizona and West Virginia are probably clapping going, thank you. This is exactly, in the real world, what we want to see happen, because there's nothing wrong with the way we vote. See, that is the biggest lie the Democrat Party tells. that voting is suppressed. You can go look anywhere in any state when they put into place IDs to vote, voting goes up, doesn't go down, doesn't suppress voting. 80% of Americans are in favor of having an ID to vote. The Democrats, you would think it'd be 20%. See, that's what I'm saying. This echo chamber, this alternate universe that the Democrats have concocted in their mind tells them that 80% of people are kept from voting. They're suppressed. When in reality, it's the other way around. They don't live in Realville. They have no idea how you live in Realville. They don't like you. They don't want to like you. They don't want to know you. They don't want to empathize with you. They want to rule you. And so now, it's their responsibility we couldn't get it done. See how this works? It's the blame game. Quote, this is probably one of those votes that we absolutely have to have. The fate of the world depends on us, whether it's good strategy or not. It's more important for those people whose votes are being jeopardized. It's absolutely critical that they understand who is on their side. See, that's the left. They're the victims. Oh, you people out there, we're on your side. We want to help you vote. The big, bad, mean Republicans, they want to require you to show up and prove who you are. That's not fair. They want to take away your drop boxes. You're going to actually have to go in person. They want to take away your mail-in ballots. They want to take away your democracy. You should be mad. God, they're a bunch of babies, aren't they? This is how the left operates. It's never about them. Well, we did the best we could. We did everything within our ability to try to fix this, and these mean Republicans just wouldn't let it happen. Some Democrats in the House also shifted the blame to Republicans, huh? Even though Democrats do not have the votes to pass the bill. Rep. Pramila Jayapal, Democrat Washington, the chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, said last week Republicans haven't been forced into a conversation about why they would oppose voting rights at this critical junction. That's a false strategy. It's a false narrative. We don't oppose voting rights. We want everybody to vote. We actually want to make it so that everybody's vote counts. So when you show up, someone can't steal your vote by showing up and saying, well, I'm Eric Holder. Remember that? I don't remember when that was in New York, but someone tried to show up in New York and vote as Eric Holder and they almost got away with it. We want to secure the elections. We want to make it so that your vote counts. We don't want to suppress your vote. We're not opposing your voting right. We want you to vote. We want you to vote. We want you to vote legally. We want you to show up and prove who you are and then go vote legally in the United States of America. Now, in New York, they're going to let foreign nationals vote in local elections. Sounds pretty fair, doesn't it? Only if you only have to live in New York for 30 days. You don't even have to prove who you are. See, that's what the left wants. The left wants chaos. The left doesn't want you to understand what's happening. They want to hide it. They want to manipulate it. Because when an election is manipulated, it's easier to steal. See, the left knows. See, this is the only strategy. Let's go into this for a minute. This is currently the only strategy that I think the left sees can help them win. Now, I told you about the student loan debt. That's coming, kids. They're going to throw out that carrot to the millennials, who by far are the largest voting group. See, this is the thing. You have to understand the playing field here, okay? Millennials are the largest voting bloc, I think, today, outnumbering the baby boomers. Baby boomers are getting older, right? So the baby boomers used to be, and I could be wrong, it could be real close, but let's just say baby boomers are number one. Baby boomers normally go conservative. There's nothing you can do for the baby boomers, right? They're probably getting close to retirement. They don't have student loan debt, bills, all that stuff. So the next biggest voting bloc are the millennials. All of the millennials Well, not all the millennials. I don't want to generalize because one of my good friends said, Matt, don't ever generalize. A lot of the millennials more than likely have student loan debt in some way, shape, or form. So the Democrats are going to come along and they're going to be like, well, we'll pay it for you. Just vote for us. Wink, wink, wink. See, the Democrats know. The Democrats know they're in that proverbial rock and a hard place. They know that Joe Biden's policies have stunk. They know that the supply chain crisis, inflation, cost of goods, all of that is wreaking havoc on you, and 70% of you believe the country's going in the wrong direction. You believe that, and they know that. They're not dumb. There's people behind the scenes telling them, guys, gals, this is a clusterfuck. I mean, you're in for a really bad time. This is going to be ugly, and you are going to get smoked. But Democrats don't know how to do any introspection. See, that's the problem. The Democrats know they're going to get smoked. So what do they want to do? Cheat. That's all they can do. They have got to pass this stuff. So what do? They put these bills in shells of NASA bills because it's already passed the House and the Senate, so they don't have to have Republican input and all this stuff. They cheat because they're cheaters. And the only way they can win is cheating. If you don't think the 2020 election was rigged, then you're crazy. I get tired of that. There is plenty of proof that the left rigged the 2020 election. How do 5 states just stop counting ballots at the same time? It's impossible. No one's ever asked who actually, threw out that command either, but here we are. So I want to get to this. She says, because of course they've never had the Republicans have never been forced. You hear her language? Been forced into a conversation about why they would be opposing voting rights at this critical juncture. If we have to go back to people and try to explain why we don't have voting rights, which we do, it is really important that they hear from Republicans themselves why they are blocking this critical legislation. It's not critical, by the way. Others have noted Democrats have overpromised and underdelivered with their legislative agenda. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and President Puddin'Pop have compared the failed Build Back Better Act to the New Deal and the Great Society programs. Rep. Alyssa Slotkin, Democrat, Michigan, said, I don't have a problem with the focus we're putting on the basic tenets of the democracy, but we're a big government. Do I think we're always great at communicating? No. We have a major communication issue, and I've been more and more vocal because I think it's now holding us back. See, to Democrats, it's always about how they sell the mission. How do they sell the propaganda? We're just not marketing it right. We're not doing a good job of marketing the fact that we want to take over, our republic. We're not marketing it good enough to fool these morons who aren't bright enough to understand that. I'm telling you, coming down the pipe, student loan is going to be erased. That's going to be the little carrot that the left is going to use, and they're going to try to steal this. They have to rig the election. It's the only way Democrats stand a chance of it even being close in the midterms. And I'm telling, this is going to be a crazy year. This is going to be an absolutely crazy, crazy year. We're going to look back in November and go, whew, where'd this year go? It's going to be crazy. The media. Yeah, so look, please do me a favor. Go research what you hear. Don't take my word for it. Don't take CNN's word for it. Go research what you hear. Be educated. Now, I'm going to give you all the facts I can give you. I'm going to give you my opinion. I'm going to tell you what I know and I don't know. I'm going to try to do that to the best of my ability, but I would ask that you question everything, because for the next 11 months, well, probably about 10 now, we're almost into February. For the next 10 months, you are going to be inundated with propaganda, with falsehoods, with lies, with Democrat, all kinds of ridiculousness. It's going to be everywhere, and you're going to have to wade your way through it. You're going to have to figure out how to wade through it, figure out what's what, what's right, what's wrong. But you have all that information at your fingertips. All you have to do is be willing to go look at it, and you need to go look at it. Question everything. All right, kids, do me a great big favor. Protect your online privacy with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Matlock. Go get 3 extra months free on me when you sign up for a 12-month plan. No more restrictions. Internet's without borders. ExpressVPN defeats content restrictions and censorship to deliver unlimited access to video, music, social media, and more from anywhere in the world. Every device in your digital life is secured. Your online activity is your business and your business only. ExpressVPN hides your IP address and encrypts your network data so no one can see what you're doing. Become anonymous in seconds. ExpressVPN.com/Matlock. Go. You're not going to get this deal. Go get 3 free months. It's 3 free months. It literally is going to cost you $6.67 a month. Go get ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Matlock. Do it today. Proud sponsor of the program. Certainly appreciate them. Love it. I have it. You should go get it. It works wonders. It works great. And here we are. All right, kids. So once again, Democrats. No introspection. We're not going to sit around. We're not going to say, oh, here's what we did. Here's what happened. All that stuff. Paul Begala, Democrat strategist. Well, on Monday, he reacted to Andrea Waters King, the daughter-in-law of Martin Luther King Jr., saying President Puddin' Pop has put more effort into getting infrastructure legislation passed than voting rights legislation. King told Politico, what we've seen with President Biden is what happens when he puts his full force and power behind an issue like infrastructure. What we want to see is that same power and passion being put behind voting rights. Begala praised Puddin' Pop's efforts and said he does not think the Democrat leadership has been the problem. Instead, here comes the kicker, kids. Instead, he argued the Democrats have bad followers. Problem is not with bad leaders, guys. It's not with Puddin' Pop. It's not that Puddin' Pop is a terrible president. It's not that Chuck U. Schumer can't run the Senate. It's not that these liberals are a bunch of knuckleheads. It's you. That's a pretty good strategy going into the midterm, isn't it? I mean, that's a pretty good strategy by a political party saying, hey, dumbasses, we're trying the best we can. Get in gear. It's you. Always reminds me, it's not you, it's me. When you ever broke up with someone, well, it's really not you, it's me. But with the Democrat Party, it's not really me, it's you. It's you. You're the one that doesn't understand. You're a moron. You're an idiot. You're a sheep. Just do what we tell you and shut up and be quiet. And here we go. I mean, I'm flabbergasted at this. I mean, I don't think that highly of the Democrat Party. I surely don't think that highly of liberals. But I look at this and I think, wow, this is an interesting strategy. To go out there and actually tell the people that you need to vote for, that you need them to vote for you, that they're the problem. And hello out there. I mean, liberals, let's take a second, okay? Let Uncle Matt here. Let's sit down on the front porch. Let's pour a little iced tea or your cold beer beverage. Let's sit down. Let's talk a minute, okay? Because there are a few things I'd like to tell you. Like, first off, why are you a Democrat? I mean, can you even explain it to me? And that's the first question I think I would ask any Democrat today. Why are you a Democrat? Well, Matt, we're for the little man. Is the Democrat Party for the little man? Because all the elites are getting rich. All the people in power, the elitists, the academia, Hollywood, they're all getting rich. You're not. Every policy the Democrat Party enacts hurts the little man. So can you do any better? I mean, because there's your first thing. You're wrong on the first account. The Democrat Party isn't for the little man. Well, but my family's voted Democrat forever. Well, yeah, when Democrats actually love the country, like JFK, probably the last. JFK would probably be a Republican today. So now you've got, well, they're for the little man, and I've always voted for them. Here's number three. Hey, kids, the Democrats think you're morons. How do you feel about that? Let's have a conversation, Mr. Liberal. Are you really happy with the fact of the party, the political party that you like, doesn't like you? It's your fault that they can't get anything done. It's your fault that you're so dumb that you don't understand what they're trying to do. And it is your fault that you haven't pressured your Republican friends to stop being conservative. It's all your fault. They're not to blame. You are. I mean, Begala praised Biden's efforts and said he does not think the Democrat leadership has been the problem. You're the problem. CNN's Poppy Harlow asked Begala, do you think that's fair criticism? I mean, I would be flabbergasted. I would look at the guy and say, wait a minute, dude, what are you talking about here? I mean, you think this is a pretty good strategy right here? I mean, come on. She says, do you think that's fair criticism? Did President Biden put more effort into getting infrastructure passed, for example? Quote, well, he got infrastructure passed. And that's a good thing because success can breed success, Begala replied. He is putting the full force of the presidency behind it. I think the problem for the Democrats right now is not that they have bad leaders. They have bad followers. I'm flabbergasted. I mean, I don't know much more I can say about that story. I can't believe it. I mean, if I'm a Democrat, I'm not a Democrat today. I mean, if I'm a Democrat and I see that story, I look at that and I say, well, fuck you. I mean, I voted for you. I've went to war for you. I've wore your pink pussy hat for you. I've wore all this stupid shit that I got to wear for you. I've done all this dumb shit that I got to do for you. And this is what you do for me. You throw me under the bus and tell me it's my fault that Joe Biden can't fight his way out of a wet paper sack. That's what you do. But this is what the Democrats always do. The Democrats call you dumb. I mean, they think that blacks are stupid. They think that minorities are useful tools. They just think that. And they label you. They don't look at you as a person. They don't look at you for your value. They look at you for what you can do for them. They look at you for what you can do for them. How can we deceive you to get our way? Here we are. It's unbelievable. And you're the problem. You're the problem. Former Trump, by the way, former Trump administration. Here's a little distraction. I'm going to end the show with this. It's only got about 6 minutes left. Here's a little bit more distraction for you. Former Trump administration officials convened, they got together, for those of you in Flint, to try to stop the 45th president's return. God. I mean, this today is what passes as journalism. This today is what passes as journalism. Former Trump administration officials met on Monday of this week to impede Donald Trump's 2024 presidential return, the Clinton News Network reported. It's a CNN article, by the way. The group was apparently only able to agree on two items: the difficulty of successfully plotting opposition to the former president, and the group's dilemma of making up for lost time. We should have started sooner. Gosh, dog it. Those in attendance on the secretive phone call were reportedly former White House staffers who served at the pleasure of Trump, but likely found more harmony with the administrative state, the unofficial fourth branch of government, or as we like to call it out here in Realville, the deep state. So former White House Chief of Staff John Kelly got fired, former communications director Alyssa Farah Griffin, former communications director Anthony Scaramucci, boy, he was there for like, what, 8 days, former Homeland Security and Counterterrorism Advisor to Vice President Pence, Olivia Troy, former Department of Homeland Security official Elizabeth Newman, former director of the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency's Chris Krebs, who got fired. Former National Security Advisor John Bolton got fired. Former DHS Chief of Staff Miles Taylor. Boy, that's a ragtag group of degenerates if I've ever seen one, right? Taylor, who wrote an op-ed and a book critical of the Trump White House as anonymous, if you'll remember that, reportedly led the call and leaked to CNN, the group was overflowing with ideas on how to restrain the former president. I think it's hilarious that these people think they have any sway on how people are going to vote for Trump. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be forthcoming with you here in this last 4 minutes of this show. If Donald Trump wants to run for president for the Republican Party, Donald Trump is going to be the candidate. Donald Trump, like it or don't like it, and there, I'll tell you, there were many things former President Donald Trump did that I loved. The economy, jobs, tariffs on China, being America first, bringing back manufacturing, just to name a few. And there were things I hated. Spending, Fauci. There were some missteps in all this, and the vaccine, by the way. But in the end, kids, and I mean, this is just, you can say what you want to say, Trump will be the candidate if he runs. Here's the thing. People don't understand. President Trump did something that normal politicians never do. He engaged people who were not political and brought them into the fold. And if you go to Twitter or Facebook or any social media platform, you will see who these people are. They are diehard. Trump couldn't do, I mean, it wouldn't matter what Trump did. They will never leave him. And mind you, I would vote for Trump again. And I would do it in a heartbeat over a Puddin Pop or Hillary Clinton. I mean, it's a no-brainer. But Trump ignited a passion in America that hadn't been here in a long time. And Rush Limbaugh used to always talk about this. You can, the Democrats will try as they may to make up stories, to say things, to engineer fabrications, to try and split you from supporting Trump, and it just won't work. It's this thing is unbelievable what Trump did. It's a passion beyond any passion I've ever seen. And so the left can sit here and they can write these erroneous articles. They can make up this stuff about DeSantis and Trump fighting and all the stuff going on with the Republicans because they know how bad it is. But in the end, they're not going to separate. This is the key that the left doesn't understand. They're not going to separate these people from Trump. And in 2020, Joe Biden didn't get 81 million votes. I'm sorry. Barack Obama didn't get, I mean, Barack Obama was the first black president. He didn't come close to that 81 million. You're telling me that Joe Biden was more popular than Barack Hussein Obama? No, not even close. Didn't happen. Wasn't real. The left knows it. And that's the thing. I'll end with this. You and I both know the left knows the election was rigged. Why else would you care? If you beat the socks off of Trump in 2020 by about 6 or 7 million votes, I mean, I would be out strutting around. I'd be spiking the football. I'd be like, bring it on. Let the loser run again. But yet you've got anti-Trumpers and former Trump administration and Democrats and all of these people telling you exactly what's going on. They are deathly afraid of Trump running again. And Trump knows it. And I'm going to tell you, kids, I wouldn't be shocked. Little final nugget here. I wouldn't be shocked if DeSantis was Trump's running mate. I wouldn't be shocked if he was. I would not be shocked if you saw a Trump-DeSantis party going in 2024. Mark my words, I'm just telling you. All right, that's the end of the program for today. Please go follow The Matlock Show on Telegram, Gab, at Real Matlock on Getter, and The Matlock Show over on Rumble. That's it for today. Matlock, out.